Shabbat shalom. Tell me what you fear, and I will tell you what has happened to you. So says psychologist D.W. Winnicott. Now, many of our fears and anxieties come from things that have happened to us. Hurts and traumas we have suffered through life in this fallen world. These painful experiences create fear and anxiety within us that, left unchecked, can control our lives. We can also be afraid of the unknown, anxiety that comes from uncertainty in a chaotic world around us. Now, there are plenty of reasons to feel fear and anxiety, very real reasons. Every day we are told what these things are: wars around the world, diseases, natural disasters, government overreaches, economic collapse, inflation, and the list goes on. I'm sure if Rabbi Lorne was here, he'd have a couple more to add to that. In America specifically, though, there are two interesting fears that I want to point out. Now, according to a recent study through NPR and Harvard, more than 25% of Americans fear being attacked in their own neighborhoods. Just walking down the road, being attacked. Over 25%. Maybe that's some of you. Also, according to the annual Chapman University Study of American Fears, the last one conducted in 2021, for the last 6 years in a row, the top fear, what do you think that is? Tsunamis, fires? No. Corrupt government officials at 79.6%. Now, notice I didn't say corrupt Democrat government officials or Republican government officials, but just generically across the board, government officials. We got some of those speeches this week, I believe. The next highest level of fear, which was the fear of people I love dying, which shot up in the last couple of years on this list for obvious reasons, was over 20% less at 58.5%. People are way more afraid of corrupt government officials in America than they are about their loved ones dying. Tells you how some of the thinking has shifted in this country. And it's been this way for 6 years, though, that this has been the top one. So long story short, there are many things to make us afraid. The question then is, well, what do we do with our fears? Now, modern psychology has several ways to overcome or process fears. And I think there is a lot of good to be found there. But human understanding and efforts can only take us so far. When disaster comes, you need someone to be able to turn to. You know, I think of the movie or the book Dune, and again, if Rabbi Lorne was here, he'd appreciate this, but there's this scene in Dune talking about fear, very famous. And so you can't just chant these sort of things, though, like, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. You can't just overcome fear with thinking and hope that you can endure a tsunami or economic crash or war. We need something more than mantras. We need more than ourselves and other people even to weather the storms of this life. We need the Lord, a truth that sadly seems to be ignored in our society. In exchange for promises of solutions from government and officials, of places of safety that cannot protect us. But it is a truth we need to be reminded of. Now this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 46. Now, Psalm 46 has no specific occasion attached to it, but it was most likely written in response to a war or natural disaster. Psalm 46 reminds all who belong to the Lord that he is the ultimate source of safety, strength, and help. So we do not have to fear the tragedies of this world. Let's begin with the superscript. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a psalm. Now in the Torah, Korah and many others perished after they rebelled against the Lord. But we read that not all of his family were killed. King David later appointed his descendants, who were themselves Levites, to be singers in the temple. Now, Alamoth can be translated as virgins or young maidens, and this may refer to some other people who may have sung this song or some other musical tradition, a style of music that's been lost to time. So this was a song, though, sung by the sons of Korah in the temple. Now let's look at the first section of this psalm. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles if you have one. I'll be reading from the NIV mostly this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. The Selahs in this psalm serve as natural breaks in the song. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read each section, pausing at every Selah, and then we're going to go back and look at it verse by verse. So this is the first section of the psalm. And we start now with the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Our psalm begins with the simple but powerful truth that the Lord is our refuge and strength. A refuge is a place you retreat to when difficult times happen. Now, the Hebrew word for refuge here is machase. In the physical sense, it refers to a place of shelter from rain, storms, or even war. Throughout the Psalms, it is used to describe how the Lord is a place of shelter for his people. Just as we run inside when hurricanes or tornadoes come, the Lord is our place of refuge when terrible situations happen in our lives. Now, not every shelter or refuge is built the same. I would not want to try and survive a tsunami in a sukkah. Even well-built homes and buildings can have leaks or fail. That's why you get a home inspector. Foundations will crumble, walls will give out, and windows will shatter. But unlike any shelter, physical or emotional, built with human hands, in Adonai, we have a refuge that never fails. The Lord is also described here as more than just a place of safety. He also empowers us with his strength. A strength that will never run out and enable us to move forward in our lives. We can endure and even thrive in this dark and chaotic world. We have inside us the inextinguishable light of the Lord. Amen. But wait, there's more. Adonai is also our help. He is the supplier of help in times of trouble. The sense here in the Hebrew literally is that Adonai is the author and founder of help. He's not just a help, he is the help, capital T. Now, in our modern Yiddish, we like to use the word tsuris, which means troubles. And this word comes from the Hebrew word here, tsarah, to mean troubles. That's where it comes from. So the Lord is our source of help in all kinds of tsuris, whether it is natural disasters or the messes of our lives. External or internal, the Lord is our help, a very present help. Where human efforts fail, the Lord succeeds. He accomplishes for us what is impossible on our own, or even with a group of people, even having a nation behind you. And the Lord is always present, always available to help his people during times of trouble. Now, you might be saying to yourself, Rabbi Jerry, that sounds so sweet and nice. But can we really say that when times are actually tough? And the answer to that is yes, we can. This psalm was most likely written during these terrible times and has been recited since then as a reminder during so many other difficult situations. The truths of this verse and this psalm have been a comfort to many and can be for us as well. And so we read on to see what this truth should cause us to feel. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. Even when earthquakes happen that cause mountains to collapse, the Lord is still a refuge. And since the Lord is always available as a shelter, we don't need to live in fear of natural disasters. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I'm not telling you to go stand out in the middle of the rain and start reciting, in the middle of a tsunami or a hurricane, and start reciting Psalm 46. But what it means is we don't need to live our lives trapped by fear and anxiety of them. But it is understandable to feel fear from natural disasters. You know, tsunami waves have been recorded higher than the Empire State Building. If I saw a tsunami wave that high coming for me, I would be afraid. It's a rational response to the situation. But we deal with situations in our lives that could seem just as massive as earthquakes or tsunamis. The betrayal of trust from a friend or family member, the death of someone we love, war, murder, embezzlement, adultery. We could just keep going on forever. But no matter how dangerous life may be, the Lord is always there to provide us help. Now, being sheltered does not mean that we will not experience suffering or have difficult times. We're actually promised suffering by our Messiah and persecution. But what it does mean is that we can endure, that we will not be washed away like the mountains. We will not crumble. We will not lay down and die. We will survive. We see how God's people can even thrive in the middle of terrible situations. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Now, those of you who know some basic geography about Israel know that there is no river that runs through Jerusalem. So what is meant by this verse? Well, in the ancient world, there was no easy way to transport water across large distances. You didn't just turn on your faucet and have a nice glass of water in your house. So cities, therefore, needed to have easy access to sources of water. And so you'll find most ancient cities, especially the more prosperous ones, were built near places like rivers, like lakes, or in the case of Jerusalem, a well from a spring. Now, unlike the raging waves of water of the previous section, the waters of Jerusalem are tranquil and bring joy, not destruction. So the point of this verse is that the Lord provides abundantly for his people, and having fresh water is another sign of his commitment to protecting and preserving those he loves. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. We see a clear contrast between how the Lord protects his people and how life is for those not under his blessing. Two choices. Mountains may crumble into the sea, nations may rage, kingdoms will fall apart, but Jerusalem, the city of God, will not be moved. Jerusalem stands today, despite so many wars being fought over it. The city of Jerusalem is considered blessed, not because it was earned, but because of the love of the Lord. And the history of Jerusalem shows how the Lord has been a very present help in times of trouble. But I also believe there is a future sense to these verses, because there will come a new morning when all the kingdoms of the earth who threaten the city of the Lord and his people will be destroyed with a word. A day that Zechariah says, living waters, a river of water, will flow out of Jerusalem. A day when our wonderful Messiah returns like the dawn, and with a word ends all wars. Now there's a clear connection in the Hebrew between the raging waters and collapsing mountains of verse 2 with the rage of nations and tottering of kingdoms in verse 6. The Hebrew here is the same. The connection is that as believers, we do not need to fear natural or man-made disasters. All crumble before the Lord. Nations warring against other nations was a common occurrence in the ancient world, and not surprising today as well. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, and history moves on. Leaders go about their business, planning and scheming, doing whatever they want until the Lord steps in. Because when he utters his voice, everything changes. Where the Lord speaks, all melt before him. Every ruler, every power, every nation and authority are dissolved and broken by the immeasurable power of the Lord of armies. All that would challenge his kingship will find themselves destroyed. I mentioned earlier how today many people fear corrupt leaders. These verses are a warning to them and an encouragement to us not to fear. Therefore, all of God's people can declare the refrain of this psalm, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. As Martin Luther wrote in his famous hymn from this verse, "A mighty fortress is our God." Because of all the reasons given and more, we can have confidence that the Lord is our fortress and stands for all those who are his people in every generation. We continue on to the final part of this psalm. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. All people, the wicked and the righteous, are invited to come and see the works of the Lord." There is a future view to these verses, inviting us to understand how the Lord will bring his enemies on earth to an end. That wars and conflicts will be made desolate, completely wiped clean, with nothing remaining. In the face of the Lord's overwhelming power, all of our supposed human might falls apart. You know, as human beings, we try to tame nature itself. We like to believe we do a very good job of it. And yet, no matter how sophisticated our technology, storms, floods, fire still ravage our cities. If we can't even control the forces of earth, how much less can we control the one who created and controls all these things? I think of the Lord's questions to Job in the book of Job. When the Lord reveals his power, every weapon and technology of human warfare will be destroyed and unnecessary. You can't nuke God. There will be no more armies to wage war, no more wicked rulers or tyrants. All these things, all these people will be brought completely to an end by the Lord of armies, Emmanuel, God who is with us. So we now move to a message from this King of armies directly to us all, a command for all to obey. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We like to quote the first part of this verse, but we need to understand the context. This context is the ceasing of wars and fighting when the Lord of Army arrives. To cease our desire to control and dominate other people. That's what much of our society is about, from our rulers and leaders down to just people in our businesses, in our schools, even in our churches and congregations. It's about dominating and controlling people. And it needs to stop. And know that there is only one God, Adonai. The Lord is calling out to all those who are waging their wars, obsessed with their conflicts and schemes, to stop. The Lord thunders and decrees that all will acknowledge his authority. You know, we see something similar during the life of Messiah Yeshua, who is Emmanuel. At the end of Mark 4, we read there is a terrible storm with roaring waters. His disciples, afraid for their lives, wake Yeshua up to shelter and help them. We read what happens next in Mark 4, 39 through 41. He, referring to Messiah Yeshua, got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. The message of Mark 4 here and Psalm 46 is the same. Why should we be afraid? Do we not have faith? Because I'll tell you, it is not politicians we should have faith in. It is not generals or nations or armies. It's not gurus or YouTubers or economists or grifters. And we certainly cannot rely on ourselves to save ourselves. Only Adonai is an immovable fortress. Only Messiah Yeshua can command the waves and raise the dead. Because of the Lord's sheer glory and majesty, it is only right to exalt him, to give him the praise and honor that he is due. Now, this is not a polite suggestion or a choice we get to ignore. The Lord will be exalted. Even when the enemies and mockers of God do not want to, even when prideful leaders and Satan himself refuses to. Their supposed might will be broken, and there will be only one response. For we know a day will come when every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Then every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Messiah Yeshua is Lord. The Lord will be exalted. He is not asking us, he is telling us. So our psalm concludes with the refrain once again, a triumphant declaration of hope in the middle of difficult times. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Rabbi Paul, writing hundreds of years later, considering the same issues of fear and suffering in Romans 8, in that chapter, he talks about how our present sufferings are producing for us future glory. And after considering the glory, the strength, and love of the Lord, he reaches one powerful conclusion in verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord of all creation, all-knowing and all-powerful, stands with us, then why should we fear? Now, there are many things we can put our trust in. Fame, money, love, leaders of all kinds. But all these powers fail. They are all crushed and forgotten. But for those who call Adonai Father, we have a fortress that can never be moved. A fortress that endures and prospers when all other strongholds fail and fall. The Lord is in our midst and is still, this day, our very present help in times of trouble. So how do we take the truths of Psalm 46 and apply it to our lives? The first question we all must ask ourselves is if God is our fortress. When Suras comes, are we running towards our Heavenly Father or towards something or someone else? To answer that question, here are a few others to diagnose where we are spiritually. First, have you made a commitment to the Lord through faith that he will be your refuge? Have you received the strength of the Lord, found only in Messiah Yeshua through the Holy Spirit? Are you turning to him in prayer, like in the psalm, when the Suras comes? These are the questions I ask myself as I contemplate Psalm 46, and I hope you will as well. Because the reality is that the source of much of our fear in this life is found in placing our trust, our faith, in fortresses that fail. Our society tells us that we can be masters of our own destiny. We can depend on ourselves or communities or institutions or political parties to safeguard us when trouble comes. But human history shows, and in our own lives it shows, how quickly they topple. We see the raging of so many groups, and then the leaders falling apart. If you place your trust in people, you will be fearful when they fail. Trusting in the Lord will lead you to peace that surpasses the troubles of this world. In Messiah Yeshua, we find real rest for our souls. In him alone, we can endure and thrive through a fortress that will never fail us. So if your answer to those earlier questions was no, then make it this day to find a very present help in times of trouble. Today, place your trust in the only shelter that endures forever. But if the answer to those questions was yes, then hopefully you are securely in the fortress of the Lord. But there still can be seasons when fear and anxiety creep in, and our media does a great job of trying to make that happen. At these times, it is good to remember the saving power of the Lord, what he has done throughout history, but also personally in our lives as well. To remember times when he has shown us how he is our refuge and to still our anxious hearts with his mighty acts. We could turn to Psalm 46 and reaffirm, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." It is my prayer this morning that each of us would be able to declare that Adonai is our fortress with joy and not fear. May each of us have peace beyond the circumstances in our lives found only in the Prince of Peace, Messiah Yeshua. May we all look forward to the day when the Lord will bring all war to an end and be exalted throughout all the earth. Thank you.